Psalm 22, verses 25 to 31. In the full assembly, I will praise you for what you have done. In the presence of those who worship you, I will offer the sacrifice I promised. The poor will eat as much as they want. Those who come to the Lord will praise him. May they prosper forever. All nations will remember the Lord. From every part of the world they will turn to him. All races will worship him. The Lord is king, and he rules the nations. All proud people will bow down to him. All mortals will bow down before him. Future generations will serve him. They will speak of the Lord to the coming generation. People not yet born will be told, the Lord saved his people. John 15, verses 1 to 8. I am the real vine, and my Father's the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit, so it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they are burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by you bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. Praise be to God.
We are the branches of the vine. One of the many areas in which I possess near total incompetence is gardening. Once or twice, I have picked up books on how to do it. But usually, I haven't got beyond the first couple of pages. Like some theology books, the opening pages of gardening books often have three long words I don't understand. Or worse, three words which they are using in a special sense, unknown to me. I'm no gardener then, but I can mow the lawn. I can pick gooseberries. I can plant bulbs. Well, it's only to dig a hole and drop them in. I can prune roses. I even know why. Or more or less. A rose bush left to itself gets straggy and tempted to grow in on itself. It will produce quite a lot of not so good roses rather than a smaller number of splendid ones. It will quite literally get in its own light. It needs to grow in the right direction and to the right ends. So you prune it to stop it wasting its energy and being unproductive. You cut out particularly the parts of the plant that are growing inwards and getting tangled up. You encourage the shoots that are growing outwards towards the light. You prune the rose. In other words, to help it to be its true self. As I understand it, the same thing works with vines. Vines too need to grow towards the light rather than getting in a tangled mass. Left to themselves, they produce a lot of superfluous growth which must be cut away. The grapevine is a prolific plant. A single plant bears many grapes. In the Old Testament, grape symbolized Israel's faithfulness in doing God's work on earth. Christ is the vine, and God is the vine dresser who cares for the branches to make them fruitful. The branches are all those who claim to be followers of Christ. The faithful branches are true believers who, by their union with Christ, produce much fruit. But those who become unproductive will be separated from the vine. Jesus makes a distinction between two kinds of pruning, separating and cutting back. Faithful branches are cut back to promote growth. In other words, God must discipline us to strengthen our character and faith. But branches that don't bear fruit are cut off at the trunk because not only are they worthless, but they often, in fact, infect the rest of the trees. Jesus uses the word prune in verse 2 and links it with clean or prune in the next verse. He wants to link the pruning of the vine with the clean state of the disciples. They have already been pruned. Jesus has spoken the word to them, calling them to take the cross and follow him. They have had to submit to the pruner's knife, cutting away other goals and ambitions. They have already bore fruit. They must now expect more pruning so that they can bear more fruits. Jesus is saying that he is the one on whom God's purposes are now resting, and his followers are members of God's true people if they belong to him and remain in him. Branches that decide to go it alone, to try living without the life of the vine, soon discover their mistake. They wither and die and are good for nothing but the fire. But the branches that remain in the vine and submit to the pruner's knife when necessary live and bear fruit. That is the prospect that Jesus holds out to his followers and to all of us today. Then the urgent question is, how do we remain in him? What does it look like in practice? We must remain in the community that knows and loves him and celebrates him as its Lord. There is no such thing as a solitary Christian. Though it hurts, we must be ready for the Father's pruning knife. God will be glorified, and so will we, by bearing good quality fruits. For that to happen, there will be extra growth that needs cutting away. The vine dresser is never closer to the vine, taking more thought over its long-term health and productivity than when he has the knife in his hand. The image of being rooted in Christ creates complete stability and enables growth as the sap of Christ's life rises within us. A church decided to declutter its storeroom and public spaces. A skip was hired, and the accumulation of years was thrown out. Before the skip was taken away, some members removed items and took them back. The question is, why do we find it so hard to rid ourselves of the unnecessary things? Should we also apply pruning to our church life? Have we grown straggy and unfruitful because we struggle to keep too many things? What really sustains our life in Christ? And his life is what really sustains our life in Christ and his life in us. Mostly, we are too busy for abiding with our Lord. The demands of the family, the demands of finance, employment, recreation, and so much more are what we really devote our limited resources to. Should we consider if there is anything we are able to cut away, prune, or trim in order to have time to bide a while with the Lord? What negative elements of life, anger, bitterness, resentment, might be sapping our life's energy away? Are there branches that we need to prune?